ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
God, we've been running a series on the subject of prayer. And then tonight, we just take it a little further. I like to title this, Praying Without Ceasing. Praying Without Ceasing. A lot of the times, our understanding of the subject of prayer has been reduced to just asking God for our whole needs to be met. There is a place for that. Beyond that, this series has helped us to actually understand what prayer is, which we have defined as conversation with God. This is the divine privilege of every believer in Christ, that we can pray to our Father, who is the source of everything. So praying without ceasing, I like to set the tone by reading from 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul writing to us, the New Testament believers, and I believe we can learn from this. Paul talking about the day of the Lord that is coming, but before that, he was asking for something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I read from verse 16. It says, rejoice always. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. 18 says, in everything. I just want us to follow it one after the other. There is a place for rejoicing in the life of the believer. He says, so rejoice always. Even when you don't feel like it, like Isaiah suggested, draw up water from the well of salvation. Draw up joy. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. And then abstain from every form of evil. He said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make you whole, spirit, soul, and body, and be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and also we do it. And he says in verse 25, brethren, pray for us. So there is that dimension that the believer in Christ should pray, not just reduce it to a particular season in our lives. Most of the times when people are confronted with life issues, that's when they remember to pray. But for us believers in Christ, he has highlighted certain things. They are like virtues, spiritual virtues that we must cultivate. In John chapter 15, Jesus laid this foundation of praying without ceasing. John chapter 15, which is actually my text for tonight. John chapter 15. I read from verse 5 to 8. We've said in the time past that one of the reasons why people don't enjoy prayer is because they have not really gotten answers. They don't have desired results. So there is a bit of discouragement or a bit of disappointment, haven't asked for some time. But in John chapter 15, Jesus gave us a leeway into praying to get results, and then the need for you to recognize that we can actually pray without ceasing, whether we are in trouble or not, whether we have issues that we are praying for or not, we can pray, not reducing it to a particular season of our lives. So in John chapter 15, verses 5 to 8, he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, that's without the Lord, we can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. This is the key, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Say, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So God expects us to bear fruit. And so prayer conversation is our divine privilege. That's the divine privilege of every child of God has with the Father or with their Father. I mean, in the natural sense, everyone understands the role of fatherhood in a natural family. In a very perfect situation, the father is regarded as the covering for the family. The father of a natural family is regarded as the source, the provider, the prophet, the cover for the family. And everyone, technically in the natural family, looks up to the dad or to the father. In fact, in some instances, when you have growing up children, they realize or they have this notion that their father can answer any question in the world. But if we come into the Father of all spirit, God is actually our source. That's the word father. Abba Father means the source. The source of life, the source of provision, the source of everything that we need, the source of creation, the source of mankind. So God is our source. So when we pray, that conversation, that communication is a divine privilege. Just like the natural child, we ask the natural father questions and expecting to get answers. So is it when we come in the place of prayer. Praying without ceasing also means that we recognize that God lives on the inside of us today. As a New Testament believer, he has made his abode in us by his spirit. So when we pray, we are having conversation. In fact, that word prayer means conversation. It means communion. It means fellowship. It means koinonia, as it were. So learning to pray or to use this conversation effectively is our key to getting results in prayer. My encouragement tonight is that it is possible for you and I to pray and get answers to our prayers, our individual prayers. It is possible for you and I to pray and stand in gap on behalf of other people. It is possible for you and I to pray and then agree with other believers, and we can get answers to whatever we are asking. You know, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. He says, two shall agree. touching anything here on the heart, it shall be done for them by his Father who is in heaven, by our Father who is in heaven. So, it is possible to have our own prayer needs met. It is possible for God to use us to stand in gap, maybe on behalf of our workplace, on behalf of our community, on behalf of our street, on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our continent, and generally on the behalf of the world. It's possible to come to that place where in Matthew 18, it says, yes on the heart is yes in heaven, no on the heart is no in heaven. So tonight, I just want to remind us again that being born into the family of God guarantees our access into the blessings of God. There's a blessing of health, blessing of salvation, a blessing of living a life that is worthy and pleasant to God, a life of significance and purpose. There is that blessing that can come upon us when we pray to find the will of God for our lives. We pray to understand our assignment, and God begins to use us as an epitome of blessing in our generation. So, our born-again experience, or coming into the right relationship with God, which we call the new birth experience, actually opens every believer into these blessings of God. Number one, please remember, we are born again by the Spirit of the Lord. It's a work of transformation. Where I read to set the tone for the service, he said, I pray that your spirit. So it's an inside out work of transformation. The regeneration, like Titus said, is by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are born into the family of God. We are born by the Spirit of God. And then when we begin to study the Word of God, we understand our place, our inheritance in Christ. We understand the things that have been freely given to us. We understand that the things that have been freely restored to us, Adam lost it. Jesus came to get it back for us. And we can get back to the original intention of God, that the heavens belong to God, but this heart he has given to us as his sons and daughters. So, when we begin to study the Word and meditate in the Word, then praying without ceasing becomes effective in our lives. And you know, the Bible talks about this in James chapter 5, verse 16. The effectual fervent of the prayer of the righteous man, the one who has a right standing in God, what does he do? He makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. So tonight, I just want to ask three basic questions, even as we understand this topic, praying without ceasing. How to pray? A lot of people don't know. How do you pray? Second question, what do you pray for? Third question, who do you pray for? So, three questions tonight that we will try and answer in this service. How to pray? How do we pray? What do we pray for? Who do we pray for? Three basic questions. And we trust God by His Spirit that our eyes of understanding will be flooded with light tonight. How to pray? John chapter 16 gives us an insight. Before I go into that, next week, by God's grace, we will look at the subject, different types of prayer. I mean, you know, different types of prayer, there is that temptation to just put everything you want to pray for in just one basket. No, there are different rules. There is a game of football, there is a game of handball, there is a game of lawn tennis, there is a game of badminton, there is tracks and field. So, they are all sports. But there are rules that guide each of these things. And if we run according to the rule, that's the only way. If you are in the field of football, for example, you can't pick the ball with your hand. That becomes a foul. But if you are playing handball, it's allowed. You can't use your leg to kick the ball in handball. So, rules that applies to prayer. But let's just start tonight. How to pray? How to pray. John chapter 16. How do you pray? How do you pray? I know that there are many methods that have been given to, or rather that we have devised as men today. Some read out a prayer from books and booklets. But how does the Bible say we should pray? John 16 at least gives us an understanding. Verses 23 and 24. The Bible is referring to the day of the New Testament that you and I live in. Jesus speaking, John 16, 23, he said, "And in that day, you will ask me nothing. But most assuredly, I say to you," that day, he was still alive. So even while he was alive, nobody prayed in the name of Jesus. But this day is the day of the New Testament. Resurrection from the dead has taken place. Ascension has taken place. Dominion is restored back to the church. So in this day that we live in, he said, "We will ask him nothing. But most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name." So if you and I as New Testament believers, we pray today, this is the right way, the right route to pray. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. And he said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." That's why you will see in the New Testament Acts, when the Acts of Apostles, after Jesus left, they always pray in the name of Jesus. They pray for salvation, for healing, for deliverance in the name of Jesus. They speak to principalities and power in the name of Jesus, because authority has been restored back to us. So we ask the Father in his name. He said, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name." He said, "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." I believe that's number one key to, if we want to pray without ceasing, we must have that understanding. So how do you pray? Because the new birth experience has given us access into the resources of heaven and the earth. So how do you pray? Number one, you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the enablement which the Holy Spirit supplies in this our all-time access. And that's what we just read in verse 26 to 28. He said, "But I will tell you plainly about the Father." He said, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you." That's another rule that is misplaced today. We pray for Jesus' sake. No, we are praying for our own sake. It says, "I do not say to you that you shall pray the Father for you, but the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and I believe that I came forth from God, I came forth from the Father, and I've come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." So we are to pray. How to pray? Number one way is to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the enablement which the Holy Spirit gives. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. There's something that when we converse in prayer, that actually the bottom line for everyone asking for anything in prayer is to access this. And look at the way Paul writing to the Hebrews believers, how he puts it. And by the way, I know some people have argued that the book of Hebrews is not written by Paul. But Bible scholars agree that the style of writing and everything, the kind of how he took on those processes, it just points to Paul's way of writing and the way he actually addressed the Hebrew believers. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4. This is what happened when we pray. Hebrews chapter 4. We can read it from verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, said, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So, in this day that we are in, when we pray, we come boldly. The throne of grace is the presence of the Father. It's not a location in that real sense. It's in our heart. If you are a believer, it lives on the inside of you. So the throne of grace, that consciousness that the Father lives in you, you are making demand, we come. It's like the throne of grace. There is something that we obtain when we converse with our Father. We obtain His mercy and we find grace to help us in the time of our need. So, when we pray, number one, how to pray? We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Secondly, we pray in line with the Word of God. We pray in line with the Word of God. I understand the place of verbosim in the place of prayer. In other words, people shout, people cry. But if we are shouting, we are crying, and it's not in line with the Word of God, we are not playing according to the rules. God will never violate His word. That's why you read scripture in Psalm 138 verse 2. He said, God has even exalted His word above His name. So when we pray, we must pray in line with the Word of God. We must. Don't rush into prayers. Because when people just want to do the activities of prayer by just rushing, hey, brethren, let us pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. What are we saying? So the best thing to do is that don't wait until the day of adversity. Learn to study the scriptures. Learn to meditate. So the day you need it, you bring it from the deposit of your heart. He says, find scriptures. And if we are talking about the blessings of God, the blessings of salvation, the Bible talks about the fact that salvation is from the Greek word zozo, S-O-Z-O, which means total deliverance, total victory, total prosperity, total health. So we can study the Word of God in all those areas, the blessings of God, the access to the resources of God. So when we have a need for healing for ourselves, we can know the mind of God. We know that God has made provision for our healing. When we have a need for peace, we know that He has made provision for our peace. When we have a need for walking in power, walking in victory, manifesting the power of God, we know that God has made a provision. So don't rush into prayer. If you want to get answer to your prayer, you must learn to pray in line with the Word of God. In John 15, 7, that we read earlier on, John 15, 7. I mean, the process is clearly stated here from the mouth of Jesus. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, so we abide in him, we are in him by new birth experience. But his word must dwell in us. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. So his word, maybe next week, we will look at the different kinds of prayer. There is that prayer of thanksgiving. There is a prayer that comes when we sing, when we shout, when we clap. There is a form of prayer. But he says here, when we abide in him and his word abide in us, we will ask whatever we desire and then it shall be done for us. So when we learn to pray in line with the word of God, we get answer and we are praying without ceasing. In 1 John 5:14, which is another scripture, 1 John 5:14, 1 John 5:14, and I believe this should gladden our hearts. I've often encouraged that if you really want to enjoy this fellowship, learn to have a prayer journal where you supposedly you just journal, list out the things that you are believing or you have believed God for. I mean, if you are believing God for yourself, list them out. What exactly do you want? What are the scriptures that have been given to you? If you are standing in gap of other people, list out the scripture of what you are believing God for their lives. If you are standing in gap for your nation, work out. So the day, you begin to see answer, and then you are ticking them, you are just marking them out, it encourages your heart that prayer works. It works. Our conversation with God works. God is the fixed one. We are the variables. God is faithful to his word. God is looking for just that one person who will believe him, and he can show himself strong on his behalf. God, he said, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. So God is forever faithful to his word. Where we read as the tone, he said, faithful is the one who has called us, who will also do it. So in 1 John 5:14, each time I've had opportunity to pray on my own, pray with other people, and then we are ending the prayer and someone quotes this scripture, it just gladdens my heart. Faith just leaps in my heart that it is a matter of time. 1 John 5:14, he said, now, this is the confidence. So there is a confidence that when we pray according to the will of God, and we'll get into that shortly, his word is his will. When we pray according to, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Jesus, before he went to the cross, he was opening the eyes of understanding of the disciples into this subject of prayers. Even though we don't pray that kind of prayer today, but in Luke chapter 11, he was telling them how to pray. It was like a prayer outline to just introduce them to this subject. So, the simplicity of it is that God doesn't actually answer our own prayer. He answers his own prayer. Because our own prayer is based on his word. His word is his will. So when we ask based on his word, he hears us. And there is a confidence that comes with that. That we are asking God, the creator of the hand of the heart, the creator of the whole universe, who lives on the inside of us, and we can ask him and we can see him manifest his work in our lives. So we must, one, we said, pray to the Father in the name of Jesus in the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we must learn to pray in line with the word of God. And then thirdly, we pray in faith. In faith, you have to believe that God is, Hebrews 11:6, and then God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we pray in faith. And faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith is of the heart. So we must learn to build our persuasion in the word of God. Even when there are doubts in our minds. And I've said this to you, please. A lot of the times, if there is any war that we have to fight in this aspect of conversation with God or spiritual warfare, is the warfare in our minds. Unbelief, doubts, we want to creep into our minds. So we need to understand that we must consistently build the word of God in, so that even despite the fact that we have doubts in our head, we know that God is committed to answer his word. And Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible. The word faith means absolute trust. And how do you trust someone? It's by depending on their word. If in our natural conversation, if somebody say, I trust you, what they are simply saying to you is that they believe your word. What they are simply saying to you is that you are your word. And we say that a lot in our conversation. We say your word is your bond. So God is committed to his word. God does not deny himself. Even when we remain unfaithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man. God is committed to his word. Romans chapter 3 verse 4, the Bible says that let every man be a liar, but let God be true. So we must pray in faith. We must pray in faith. And faith, it comes, that absolute confidence, it comes. Romans 10, 17, by hearing and by hearing the word of the Lord. So we must put that word, we must meditate upon it, such that when there is a need, I mean, our meditation, I said to people, when you have the word of God inside you, you will never lack prayer point, because you suddenly know that you need the help of God as you journey through life. So we must pray in faith. Fourthly, we must pray as led by the Holy Spirit. We must pray. So how do you pray? Number one, you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's a basic rule. Secondly, you pray in line with the word of God. Thirdly, you pray in faith. Fourthly, you must pray as led by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. I was just saying to you that sometimes you have doubts in your head, but faith must be in your heart. And when that happens, you must just fall down. And sometimes you are weak physically. Sometimes there are overwhelming evidences around you that is God going to answer our prayer? Like, for example, in the country that we live in now, there are many things that looks like words of discouragement in the air. Trust has been betrayed. People are disappointed. But in the midst of that, I mean, we must learn to pray. Pray as we are led, not reacting. Pray proactively. In Romans chapter 8 verse 14, a great scripture there, and I will read into our hearing. Romans 8, 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, not by their emotions. If you are going to be led by your emotions, things on the outside may not look like it, but you must learn to be led. The Bible talks about it when we get into it shortly. It says, pray for our leaders. You may not feel like it, but we must pray. It says, pray for all men. You may not feel like it, but you must pray. So that's why we must learn to pray as led by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Someone might be asking, how am I going to be led by the Holy Spirit? Verse 16 gives us an answer. It said the Spirit himself. So the new birth experience, there is the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. So he nudges your heart. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Not only that we have the children of God, but he nudges our heart to do what we need to do. And sometimes we don't feel like it, which is the reality. Verse 26 of that same Romans 8 answers our question. It says, the Spirit, likewise the Spirit also helps. So the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And one of the benefits of the new birth experience is the baptism, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it comes with an initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. And so when it comes, one of the benefits that the Holy Spirit leaves on the inside of us, it helps us to pray. If we can just have John 14, 26 in the Amplified Translation, please. John 14, 26. I just love the sevenfold dimensional function of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. John 14, 26 in the Amplified. John 14, 26 in the Amplified Translation. It talks about the Holy Spirit being our helper, being our counselor, being our teacher. It's about the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby. So we must learn to pray as led by the Holy Spirit. And fifthly, how to pray, we must pray with thanksgiving. We must learn that. Thanksgiving is gratitude. Thanksgiving is you are thanking God in advance because He's committed to His word. Even when all the situations around, all the overwhelming situation around us doesn't suggest it. Thank God for our leaders. Thank God for all the people in authority. Even when our emotions don't feel like it. Why? That thanksgiving, when we learn to pray in thanksgiving, it turns the wilderness into a fruitful forest. It turns around the things that looked impossible, because His word says, "For with our God, nothing shall be called impossible." Luke 1:37. It may not look like it. Luke 1:45 says, "He will." Luke 1:45. He said, "The Lord will partner." That's Psalm 113, 38, verse 8. The Lord will perfect. Luke 1:45, "For there shall be a performance." There shall be a performance. So we pray with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 gives us that insight. Enter into His court with praise. Enter His presence with thanksgiving from your heart. He said, "Know that the Lord is good. We are the sheep of His pasture." A whole of our Psalm 100 talks about the role of thanksgiving in how to pray. Second part, what to pray for. What do we pray for? We know how to pray. But what should we pray for when we are praying? I mean, there's just two scriptures for me that set the tones. Matthew 6:33. When we are praying. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." So, what to pray for? Pray for the kingdom of God and His righteousness to bear. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Ask ye the Lord for rain." You ask God for rain in the time of latter rain. Now that looks like a contradiction, but that's what the word of God says. I will explain. So, what to pray for? Number one, pray for laborers for the harvest of soul to be saved. A lot of the problems that we are confronted with in our world today is because people don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. So, and there is no void in the heart of man. If you don't have a relationship with God, you are, that person is prone to doing evil. And a lot of people are already strengthening themselves in evil. So we pray for laborers, for the harvest of souls to be saved. We pray for demonstration of God's power. We pray that the kingdom of God be our rules. The Bible says, "For God is the governor among the nations." You say, why are we praying for laborers? I said it earlier on, God created man with the dominion mandate. Psalm 115 verses 16, it says, the heavens belong to God, but the heart that He has given to the sons of man. So, but man lost that dominion to the devil. And Jesus restored back that dominion to man, but not every man is exercising that dominion today. So there is a contest which we call the spiritual warfare. So, but man is expected to take charge as the steward of the heart. So, but what we find generally is 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the mind of people. So, when we pray according to what Jesus requested for in Matthew 9:38. We pray that the God of the harvest will send laborers. So, what do we pray for? We pray for laborers first. And then secondly, we pray for our own needs. I mean, what I just want us to get from tonight in praying without ceasing is to leave the realm of praying for our own needs and our own needs only. No. We pray for laborers. I mean, for example, we get into who to pray for. We pray for leaders. So that we can live peaceable and quiet life. Because if we pray for our leaders and they are filled with wisdom and they can do the right thing, then no violence, violence and destruction will no more be heard in our streets. People who commit crime, it will be reduced because there will be love for, not only for God, but for fellow human beings in our hearts. So, what to pray for? We pray for laborers, for the harvest of souls. And then secondly, we pray for our own needs to be met in faith, thanking God for manifestation. You know, even our own needs, we must pray for our own needs from the understanding that God has fully supplied all of our needs. Ephesians 1:3, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But why do we still have to pray? The devil is a god of this system. Unless you make a demand. That's why he says, Matthew 7:7, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. Verse 8 says, for everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So the devil will want to hold certain things, but we need to know how to pray. Jesus said, no one spoiled of the strong man is good, except he first bind the strong man. So we pray for our own needs to be met. And then lastly tonight, who do we pray for? Who do we pray for? So how to pray? You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. You pray in line with the word of God. You pray in faith. You pray as led by the Holy Spirit. You pray with thanksgiving. What do you pray for? You pray for laborers, for the harvest of soul. You pray for your own needs to be met. But you know, there are rules, and that's the rules that I'm just highlighting here tonight in praying without ceasing. So who to pray for? Number one, you pray for your enemies. People don't want to hear that, but that is the rule. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. That's the rule. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 5, 43 to 45. Matthew 5, 43. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. And the truth is that if you love someone, you pray for them. If you pray for them, compassion well from your heart. And then they have a change of life, a change of attitude. Say, pray for your enemy, love your enemy, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. You know, in the Old Testament, it was like a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. But we are in the New Testament, guided by the law of love. Our faith and love walk is key to answer prayers. So it was said in the old, but I said to you, and he said that in that day you will ask me, the Father, in my name. So we have to pray for our enemies. Bless those who curse us. Someone said, oh, when I'm praying for my enemy, am I supposed to now embrace them and all that? That is being led by the Spirit. Discretion. I mean, there's no you. If you see someone pointing gun at you, and the Bible says a good man will foresee evil and hide himself. But what am I saying? Technically, in your nature, you are to pray for your enemies. People don't want to hear that, but that's the rule of the game. And if we win, we must play according to the rules. Secondly, you pray for those in authority and all men. You pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. 1 Timothy said, therefore I exhort, first of all, before you pray for your own needs, he said, I exhort first of all, first thing first, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I've said it, when we learn to pray for all men, including our enemies, if we have any, we will see that things will turn around even much more than we can ask or think. He said, for kings and for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So, when we say pray for your nation, that is the end point. In all godliness and reverence. And this is the rule. He said, this is good. So if it is good to God and acceptable in his sight of our Savior, then we must play according to that rule. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Let me corroborate. Pray for enemies and pray for all those who are in authority. Amen. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 verses 54 to 60. We see the situation of a man being killed. He said, when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. So it was like a mob. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he was calling on God, which is what we all don't want to do today. And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But listen, look at the prayer. He knelt down while being stoned and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Assuming that he had caused, maybe Apostle Paul will not have read about Apostle Paul. That's the truth. So, praying for our enemies, praying for all those in authority and all men. And then lastly, tonight, on who to pray for. Pray for all saints. Ephesians 6:18 talks about that. Pray all kinds of prayer for fellow believers. Pray. Ephesians 6:18. Pray for all saints. Ephesians 6:19. Pray for men and women in ministry, that utterance will be given to them. So, praying without ceasing, I mean, we can just, that is the work of the believer, the privilege that we have to pray. But we can do it effectively when we know how to pray, when we know what to pray for, when we know who to pray for. And I believe that the Lord has opened our eyes to that this evening. We must play according to the rule. God wants to use us, especially in the area of prayer. God wants us to take adventure into the Spirit. And we can do that through prayer. We understand the heart of God, which is the heart of love and compassion. And as we do it, we will see that God will be doing awesome thing in our day and in our age. This is the time for revival. This time that we live in is in preparation for the revival of God upon planet Earth. There is an awakening going on. According to the order of Habakkuk 2:14, he said, that time will come, which time we are in now, that the whole heart will be filled with the glory of God. I believe more than ever before, things are going to be happening supernaturally all around us when you and I, who are believers in Christ, we are able to utilize this privilege that we have. And you know, like Jesus said, we are able to see heaven on earth. We are able to see the atmosphere of God's kingdom in our workplace, in our community, in our churches, in our nations. And we can see God becoming the governor over the nation. Father, we thank you for tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. Peradventure, there is anyone watching anywhere who is not sure of their personal relationship with God. You said, if anyone comes to you, you will not cast them out. We ask that you will receive them into your arms of love tonight. Thank you for that person who is saying, Jesus, become my Savior, become my Lord, become my King. And thank you because you roped them up in your righteousness. And thank you for the beginning of an enriching relationship by your Spirit. Thank you for forgiving their sins. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking habitation in their heart. And thank you for a new beginning. And peradventure, there be anyone who is sick in their body tonight, You are wounded for our transgressions. You are bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon you, and by your stripes we'll be made whole. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity. Go from such people. We declare healing and restoration back to her. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the rest of this week. It's blessing in our going out, blessing in our coming in. We thank you for your word, which is alive. So mightily grows your word and prevail. We thank you for the privilege of hearing your word tonight. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a lovely evening.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,